This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Tuesday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Lindsay White of Lexington, Kentucky, and you are listening to a special safety episode of Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for October 28th, episode 1029. Wow. This episode is brought to you by High Visibility North America. You can find them at highvisibilitysportswear.com. Good morning, Horse World.
Think safe, ride safe, and be safe.
Wait a minute, 99. That gives me an idea.
You got a helmet? Oh, I've got a helmet. I got a beauty.
All right, let's roll. Hey, let's be careful out there.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us on this Tuesday morning, and we want to welcome Lindsay back. Lindsay's here the fourth Tuesday of every month, and we have our special safety episode. Good morning, Lindsay.
It is a very good morning, and do you know why that is, Glenn?
No, I don't know.
Because
why?
It's 70 degrees in Kentucky. Wow!
I looked the that other day, and you were actually warmer than us. So
wow. Yeah. That's a first.
Don't worry, the snow and ice will be there before long. Before you know it, Lindsay.
Thanks. Yeah. Really appreciate that. Thank you.
No problem. You know, Jennifer's favorite time we lived in the north was always the fall. And I know that's a lot of people's favorite time, but it was never for me because I just knew winter was right behind it. So I just dreaded the fall and liked spring, but she always liked the fall. Fall is beautiful in Kentucky though.
I will say that fall is absolutely beautiful in Kentucky, and the leaves are changing here, and it does look just absolutely picturesque right now. And it's 70 degrees, so what could be better? I'm supposed to rain later today, but hey, it's nice this morning.
Yeah, it's not bad when it's raining in 70 degrees.
Oh, no, I'm quite sure the temperature is going to go down when it rains, Glenn.
I remember a few rainstorms when it was 30 degrees in Lexington, so remember those well. Well, we have a fun show planned for today, and Jennifer's going to tell us about it.
On today's safety episode brought to you by High Visibility North America, we'll start out with a pop quiz, list. It's going to be a list this time of Halloween costumes for your pony. And then next up, some riding safety news stories that have just been burning up blogs and Facebook pages everywhere. And then our guest today, Sammy Milo, will stop by to discuss her friend's Melissa Davis's riding accident, the helmet crusade that it inspired, and how Melissa is progressing with her recovery. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. But first, we have to do our daily win. Well, my daily winnie goes out to our listener, Bill Mand, who posted on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page a picture of Trey and Cody, and that's his dog and his horse. And the dog was sitting on the saddle on the horse, and it caused a lot of likes on our Facebook page. So thank you, Bill. And the other reason I'm doing this is I very, very seldom get to ever acknowledge a male listener. So anytime I get to acknowledge a male listener, I do. It makes me feel like I'm not alone in the world. It just makes me feel like there's a couple of us out there. Thanks. It's all you women and me.
Well, my daily winnie isn't so much of a daily winnie as it is a daily shaming, Glenn, today.
Because, hey, we should start those. That sounds fun. I'll have to have different music.
Yeah, we should. We should have a daily Winnie and a daily shaming. But yeah,
that's a great idea.
So, not the smartest move in the world. A junior doctor in England has been removed from the British Medical Registrar after it was found he had taken sick leave to travel overseas, not to go on holiday, mind, but none other than to commentate at equestrian events. I kid you not.
He was an announcer? Oh, that's right. I saw the story. The guy was an announcer, right?
Yeah, he was a commentator. And so he's literally been struck off the medical register because apparently he not only commented at Plantation Fields in September, but he also went to the Netherlands in October and took sick leave also in November to comment on an event in the US. And apparently he's been sprung, and not only has he been fined, but they are not very happy about it. Now, I have to say, probably not the smartest move in the world, because you would have to think that there would be some things out on social media naming him as a commentator, so it probably wasn't the smartest thing he ever could have done.
Not to mention that all those people at those shows, I mean, somebody's probably going to recognize you, and it's going to get back to your employer at the hospital.
That's right.
It blew my mind. It's just like, okay, you know, I could see where you could get away with going to a beach on a Caribbean island. Chances are pretty good that you're not going to get caught. But in front of thousands of people announcing? Well, yeah. No, that's
yeah.
Such a good plan.
Yeah. That's my daily shaming.
And he got fined, and then he had to pay back the amount of money. It was like £25,000 or something he had to pay back of the money that he got paid while he was out on sick leave.
Wow.
So he had to pay that back, too. Yeah, it was a lot of money. Dummy. So how many years in England do you have to go to school to be a doctor? Is it the same as here where there's like 8 or 10 years you're in school?
I think it's quite a long time, yeah. So it would seem that education was perhaps...
Threw that out the window.
Yeah, exactly. It was perhaps wasted, I dare say. No, it's definitely thrown out the window. But sorry, I didn't say his actual name because I wouldn't do that on the radio, but you can go look it up on Google.
I would have said it. If I had it in front of me, I'd say it. He better hope he finds a lot of gigs announcing to make up for doctor pay.
Yeah. Probably not the smartest move there.
Hey, I want to ask, because it is Halloween this year, and we'll talk about this in a minute. I picked my horsey Halloween costume of the year. I always every year pick one I really like and put it out there, and we always have that person on the show. So I picked that. But I wanted to ask you, is Halloween as big in England?
It is pretty big in England. I mean, obviously, it's been many years since I dressed up in any kind of outfit and went trick-or-treating on neighbours' doors while over there. But it is quite a big deal in England. I wouldn't say quite as much so as it is in the US, but still, it's still something that people like to participate in. The kids, you know, will go around to all of the neighbours and trick-or-treat and that kind of thing. I do remember there was a really miserly old gentleman that lived in the same street. And I will, full disclosure here, it was not us that did the trick part. but he was always so grumpy when you knocked on his door for trick or treat. And he did turn his porch light off, which is the indicator, you know, not to go to somebody's door. And so you would knock and he would basically, in a few choice words, tell you to take a hike. And somebody actually put a hose pipe through his letterbox and turned it on one year. I kid you not, they did.
They flooded his living room.
I'm not quite sure how much water got in before he figured out the hose pipe was on, but yeah, I guess that got him back for being mean all that time.
He sounds like a grumpy old guy who just likes to be mean, you know?
I think he was. Yeah, I think he was. He kind of terrified all the kids in the neighborhood, yeah.
What would Halloween be without the grumpy old guy, though? That's part
of
the Halloween tradition.
Yeah, you need one grumpy old guy.
There's always a grumpy guy, and there's always a haunted house. Yeah,
that's right.
Now, when I'm 70, I'm going to be that grumpy guy. That's going to be me when I'm 70.
Yes, you are the grumpy guy. Yes.
I'm going to be at the door, and I'm going to be going, oh, get away, kids. Get off my lawn.
That's right. So, speaking of Halloween, I wanted to tell you about some of my favorite Halloween costumes this morning for horses.
Okay.
And I absolutely love these. So I picked out five that I thought would make great Halloween costumes. And you can tell me what you think of each. Okay. So number one, take a pair of oversized spectacles and hey presto, your horse can look just like Harry Potter.
I know. I saw that picture. It was so cute. It was a pony. It was on a pony, too.
I know. Is that, yeah, massive spectacles. I mean, it's very easy. You need one thing, that's all. I'm not quite sure where you find horse-sized spectacles, but apparently there must
Zinny.
Be out there.
Go to Zinny.com. Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, Jennifer, you went to the eye doctor, and her glasses were $900. I can't imagine what horse size would be.
Wow.
$3,000 for spectacles.
Crazy. So number
I don't
two,
know if my pony would leave them on. That would be another problem that you have to deal with.
I like number two. Take a stallion with a smoking jacket and a bunny on each flank, and you have the perfect Hugh Hefner horse.
Pretty good.
And the only question is, Glenn, wait for it. The question is, how many mares does he have waiting for him back at the paddock? That was a good one. Number three, take two all beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles and onions on a sesame seed salad, and what do you have?
You have a Big Mac, right?
Yes! Big Mac horse. Well done. Big Mac horse.
I saw that
very
picture,
good.
Too, and that was cute. And they put some work into that costume. He had a Big Mac. The horse had a Big Mac on his head. They had a McDonald's saddle pad, and the rider had a Big Mac on her head. I don't know where they made the Big Macs or how they made them, but they looked real. They looked pretty good.
Pretty good, eh? So my next one.
Oh, I didn't notice that the horse also has bell boots that look like French fry containers with little French fries sticking out the top. Oh, that's cute.
So for those dear horses who were just not meant for life on the trail, perhaps they can consider a career with the Navy SEALs by dressing as a scuba diver horse. Flippers and all.
I want to see a horse walk with flippers on. That'd be fun.
Have you not seen some of the pictures that are going around of the flipper horse? That's actually quite funny. And they've actually put like a snorkel around its neck. It's really quite entertaining.
No, I didn't see that one. All right,
I'll have to send it. We'll have to share that one on the Facebook. All right. So the hip bone's connected to the tailbone. Take some paint, preferably a removable kind. Draw some bones on your horse, and hey presto, what do you have?
Oh, the skeleton. I've seen that one before.
Yeah, good one, eh? Skeleton.
And there's good ones to that. There's been some really good ones of that out there.
Very good. And I said there was five, but I found another one that I want to share with you as well, because I think this one's very, very easy to do, but it's a good one nonetheless. So, yo-ho, yo-ho, a pony's life for me. Arr! Give me some carrot rum. Okay, that's a little cheesy. That's right, folks. With the simple addition of an eye patch and pirate hat, you can have the perfect...
pirate pony.
Yes, thank you. Pirate pony. Yes.
I mean, you need a white horse for that, don't you, though, to really make it work?
I don't know. I think it just depends.
Well, if you have a black
yeah,
horse,
guess,
they won't
yeah.
see the patch, right? So you need
yeah,
a white horse.
Yeah,
need a white horse.
Probably good eyes. Good thinking there. Good thinking.
Yeah, I think that's a necessity, I think.
Do you have a dark horse? You can just paint it, and then it'll be light. We're going to have lots of people complaining that their children listened to the show and went and painted their ponies in non-removable paint
yeah,
now.
Grab paint out of their garage.
They're going to be raiding the paint stash in Pop's garage, and they're
yeah,
going to take out
exactly.
the stuff they painted the ceiling with last year, and they're putting it on their pony.
That's right.
Disaster in the
yeah,
making,
not a good
right
idea.
There.
That's right.
I mean, kids, they make special paint for that, for horses. Just go to the go to Home Depot and ask them for the horse paint.
Full disclaimer, do not do anything we talk about on this show to your pony at home. That kept the attorneys happy there, Glenn. We're all good. And I didn't want to leave equestrians out as well. Because I know between working, mucking out horses, farm chores, all you equestrians out there simply do not have time to make it to the costume store. I understand it happens to the best of us. Here's my idea for you. Just rub lots of stinking horse poo on your clothes and go to a party as a manure pile. Easy, that one. I mean, it's free.
Well, now, when Jennifer played a mud wench, when we had our acting company, they used to go outside the mud wenches, find mud or find dirt, add water, and they put real mud on. Now, the wimpy wenches would actually use makeup. But, Jennifer, I remember you rolling in the mud a few times.
Yeah.
You remember that.
We went for authenticity.
Yes, that's right. Now, I do have my pick of the best costume, in my opinion, this year. I saw it come across a page on Facebook called Draft Horse Friends that I'm a member of. And it was done by a girl by the name of Maria Batrez. I don't know how you say it. Sorry, Maria, if I screwed it up. Batrez. And she is out of Norco, California, Horsetown, USA. And she had this picture, and you'll see it on our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning, of her little pony, almost mini, might be a mini, I'm not sure, dressed as a Clydesdale. And she has the white fetlocks, and she has the harness, the little harness that she adapted to look like a Clydesdale harness. And then she has the little feathers in the hair. And the best thing is, on her little cart, she has a little wagon being pulled behind, and on it are cases of Bud Light. Get it?
Wow.
Bud Light.
Very
I thought
good.
The Bud Light was a good reference for the mini Clyde. And what was really cute is in this video, it was a contest they had in Norco, there was a video of this mini Clyde beside two actual Clydes that they had there. So, and it was amazing how much they looked alike. So this mini Clyde looks like a little draft horse and really did. I was just cute as heck. So every year we have the winner on. Last year I had the train horses on, and this year we're going to have Maria on, and she's coming on the driving radio show next week. So you'll get to hear all about her mini Clyde. It's very cute. Bud Light.
That does sound cute. Very, very cute. So,
you know,
there's
just ones when you see these that they grab you, you know, and that one's going to grab you.
That's a good one.
But now
that
there actually is some hard news in the world of safety.
Yeah, that's right. We have some updates from all things safety in the equestrian world. And you'll remember about 2 months ago, Glenn, we had a lady from the UK called Aurora Eastwood as our guest on the show. And just to recap, she had started a change.org petition in the UK aiming to make polo safer. And she was basically petitioning the Hurlingham Polo Association, which is like the governing body of polo in the UK, to insist upon helmets for the 2015 polo season. So I'm quite pleased to provide an update on this. And not only has Aurora's petition gathered a significant number of signatures since we last talked with her, so well done there, Aurora, but the Guard Polo Club in Windsor, nonetheless, has adopted safety ruling and fines from 2015 in a bid to curb the increasing number of high-profile polo injuries. And a representative who is the chief executive of the Guard Polo Club, Neil Hobday, stated that the club will be informing its players and all playing visitors that there will be warnings and fines for those who ignore the club's rule on hats, meaning helmets, from the 2015 season. Guard Polo Club has always taken the welfare and safety of the players and ponies incredibly seriously. They drafted the first polo pony welfare rules, which are now followed by governing bodies worldwide, and they are happy to take the lead in the polo community on the issue of hat safety too, if it's needed. So, with that being said, we would ask our listeners to please continue to support Aurora's efforts by signing her change.org petition, which might just convince the Hurlingham Polo Association to follow the Guards Polo Club suit and, you know, implement some helmet safety rules. And we will not only put the link to the change.org petition on the Facebook page, we'll also put it in the show notes today as well.
Very good. Well, that's progress, right?
It is. It is. Well done, Aurora. She's really taken the charge there. And there's been quite a few high-profile write-ups that I saw in, like, the Daily Telegraph and some of the other British publications as well. So that's very, very good that she's getting somewhere with that.
Well, they have not had a good couple of years in polo, especially, well, here either. Here or in England, they've had a number of riders die and get injured. And it's not required here either, is it? Helmet?
I'm not sure.
I'm not sure either.
No,
a lot of them wear those special polo helmets,
but
it's not required here, Jennifer.
No.
Wow. Interesting. So our next bit of news is actually regarding the use of helmet cameras in competition. And British Eventing has taken the move to actually ban the use of helmet cameras. And this basically came about as a result of safety concerns about wearing hat cameras. And this has been in the news the past few weeks. There was a French journalist who suggested a helmet camera, could have been a factor in the Michael Schumacher accident. And if, for those of you who don't know, Michael Schumacher is a very famous Formula One racing car driver. And at the end of last year, he was basically injured in a skiing accident. And at the time, he was wearing a helmet camera. And this French journalist basically said his opinion at that time, and he seems to have somewhat backtracked on this since then, was that as a result of having the helmet camera on his ski helmet, because he was wearing a helmet, it actually caused more injuries to his head when he fell, because he's in very serious conditions, suffered very, very serious injuries. So other industry professionals told Horse and Hound magazine in the UK that they were worried that certain cameras could potentially put riders at risk of serious head injuries. And hat cameras have become, like, very, very popular, particularly with event riders, obviously cross-country. Back in 2013, British Eventing actually introduced a regulation stating all competitors must seek permission to wear one. So the statement from British Eventing goes as follows. As a precautionary measure, pending the completion of an independent expert report on the safety of helmet cameras, the wearing of helmet cameras at all British Eventing affiliated events has been prohibited with immediate effect. Therefore, permissions previously given by or on behalf of the chief executive to wear a head camera are withdrawn. Safety of horses and riders is a top priority for British Eventing, and the Safety Committee have engaged the Transport Research Laboratory to conduct further research. Details of this extremely important research will be announced in due course. And then took a step to issue an additional statement. And that basically said that the British Eventing Safety and Sport Committees have been discussing the use of helmet cameras for some time, as there have been some concerns that they may compromise the helmet and increase the risk of injury following a fall. As such, British Eventing engaged the Transport Research Laboratory to conduct a literary review of research related to the influence of helmet-mounted cameras on the safety performance of helmets. Due to the fact there is very little research material available, TRL recommended that further research be undertaken.
So what's been the blowback on this from the riders? And I can't imagine GoPro's very happy.
No, I imagine GoPro's not very happy because they were the actual company that was specifically named. Their camera was the one that was specifically named by this French journalist. And I believe they are actually filing a lawsuit against this journalist who now seems to have rapidly backtracked on his initial statements regarding Michael Schumacher. But the point being, you know, it is a bit of an unknown. And as we just read in the statement there from British Eventing, there's not a lot of research with regards to whether it does affect the structural integrity of a helmet or not. So it isn't a bad thing that they're going to undertake this study, and hopefully they'll prove, you know, helmet cameras perfectly safe and you know, event riders can then continue to wear them and start to wear them again. But it isn't a bad thing that they're at least trying to seek some additional clarification and get some additional research done, because, you know, we do want people to be safe if they're going to wear them, specifically, especially when you've already got a high-risk sport like eventing, where it has such a high number of falls. You want to ensure that they're not doing anything that is, you know, affecting the integrity of the helmet.
Yeah, have the riders chimed in over there? You know,
I don't know about in the UK, but I think in the US, a couple of the events followed suit. I can't remember if it was Plantation Fields recently, but one of them, it was on Eventing Nation, but one of them actually, following the British Eventing ban, actually banned them in the US at the event here until further research was published as well.
I imagine, though, you know, if you think about it, just logically, if we're going to look at it logically, if you land on your head right at the right spot where the camera is and it pushes into the helmet, then that's what they've got to test, right? I mean, if you land on the side, the GoPro just sort of breaks off. Does that affect it too? But if you land just right, you know, what happens? So it'll be interesting to see what happens, because I don't know. I don't know what would happen. I don't know if the helmet's going to hold up to that or not.
Well, the interesting thing was, before this even was a big furore in the news about it, Debbie, Monty Roberts' daughter, were actually having this exact conversation about 2 months ago. And she asked me at the time my opinion, and she said, do you think it's affecting the integrity of the helmets and everything else? And I said, I honestly don't know, and I didn't at that time. And then literally since then, all of this has come about. So it's kind of interesting that we were literally talking about it before it kind of made the news.
And, of course, you can hear Debbie. I got to put in a plug now that you brought her up. You can hear Debbie on the Horsemanship Radio Show here on the Horse Radio Network. Well, keep us informed. Let us know what happens with that. I'll be interested to follow that story, because there are those riders, especially eventers, seem to be the big ones. You know who else is doing it, though, a lot now? They're catching up to eventers. Is endurance riders are using GoPros. Well, they get into some interesting places, so you can see why they would use them, you know, because it's... It's interesting to watch some of the places they have to go, you know, during some of these wacky endurance rides that they do. So that's also becoming popular. So I think we'll probably start to see it over there, too.
Well, this has nothing to do with horses, but talking of the GoPro, because GoPro really does have some phenomenal videos out there for any of you that have been on YouTube and Googled, you know, GoPro helmet cam. And there was actually a guy... is it called base jumping, where you jump up, correct me if I'm wrong, but where you jump off the top of a mountain or whatever and you free fall until right near the last minute you then open your parachute? Is that base jumping, I think?
Yes.
Base jumping. So this guy, I have to share the video with you, has a dog in his backpack, on his back, with a helmet cam, and literally jumps with the dog off the mountain. And the dog's, like, jowls and cheeks are all, like, backwards. It's a hilarious video. And the dog lands, and he gets, you know, the parachute opens, thankfully. They both land safely, takes the dog off his back, gets him out of the backpack, like, unzips him. And the dog's all, like, excited, jumping around like it was the best thing in the world ever. I must share that video with you. It's amazing.
Happy Barbie from New Jersey chimed in, and she said, I wore a GoPro helmet cam. I have since lost it in the lake. $600, don't tell my horse husband. How do you lose it in the lake, Barbie? We want to know about that.
What
exactly were you filming, Barbie? And then she says, the cams are held on with a sticker they will definitely fall off. Mine has fallen off when I put it in the car. And I guess that's also what they're going to have to test is, you know, when you head down, does the thing just fall off anyway? You know, it's, they're going to be testing all of that. And I'm sure GoPro is going to be very interested in the results. And, you know, there are a lot of them out there, but GoPro seems to be the most popular one.
Yeah.
That's out there. You know where GoPro is making a lot of its money right now is not on helmet cams anymore. That's cycled off of helmet cams onto drones. Everybody that's bought a one of those little drone helicopters is using GoPro cams now. So that's become a huge market for them. It's interesting.
Very good. Before
we get to our next guest or our first guest here today, we got to tell you about High Visibility North America. They are the ones who provide this show for us today, and we appreciate their support. High Visibility North America offers the perfect solution to keep riders, their horses, and even their dogs safe this fall. Whether you will be out riding on the trail in the woods during hunting season, which is coming up 1 month from now, starts hunting season in the Northeast, or on the roads, make sure you or your horse stay safe and can be seen by wearing high visibility clothing. I would say if you ride anywhere in the Northeast during hunting season or even on your own farm, we used to wear protective clothing. We didn't have high visibility back then. We had the old ugly stuff, not the cool stuff from High Visibility. And we used to wear the other kind that the construction workers wore because there were hunters all around our farm. And, you know, and I didn't trust some of them. So it's like, okay, you know, we're going to do everything we can to make sure we don't get shot. The entire range is not only functional in that it will keep you visible at dawn or dusk, but also and I would add to that all day long, but is also a fashionable and includes everything from winter jackets to lightweight vests suitable for year round. Available in eye-catching orange, yellow, or pink, wearing the range will ensure that hunters can tell the difference between you and a deer this fall. Jennifer posted a picture on our Horses in the Morning page yesterday of one of our listeners came over to ride with her, and she was wearing her high-visibility vest out to ride around the neighborhood. Visit highvisibilitysportswear.com to check out their special offers, which will be starting later this week, and we'll post it on our Facebook page when it goes up. And they'll be giving you up to 5% off the selective items in the range. And these make great holiday gifts. You realize, a week from Friday, we're going to be doing our holiday gift buying episode. That's how close we are, people. So these would make great holiday gifts, and especially if you get them at a discount of up to 50% off. So check out, keep an eye on the page, highvisibilitysportswear.com, or on our Facebook page over at Horses in the Morning. All right, good. Did I miss anything there?
I think you got that, Jen.
Cool.
Jennifer, do we have our guest ready to go?
Yes, guest is ready.
We do. Well, we are very pleased this morning to have Sammy Milo joining us. Sammy is a USHJA certified trainer and is the owner of Cavallo Stables in Newcastle, California. Sammy is going to tell us about her good friend, Melissa Davis, riding accident. Melissa was very seriously injured on Sunday, August the 17th, and is still undergoing rehabilitation. Melissa was unfortunately not able to join us herself as she's suffering some speech difficulties, but has been providing updates via Facebook on her condition under the page Melissa's Helmet Crusade. And just before we welcome Sammy on, say as well, me and Sammy have been friends on Facebook. We never actually met, which is a strange thing, but we've been friends on Facebook for quite some time now. And Sammy is so kind as to provide me with the cutest pictures of her kids and students to put on the Riders for Helmets Facebook page. So I want to say thank you for that as well, because she really does have some brilliant, brilliant pictures that she shares with me. So good morning, Sammy.
Good morning. How is everybody?
We're good this morning. You're very chipper for 6:30 a.m. in California.
Yes, I got up a little early, so I would be chipper.
Have you had 3 cups of coffee already?
Yes.
Very good. Well, thank you so much for joining us on the show this morning. So just for our listeners, do you think you could just tell us a little bit about Melissa and how you basically know her and a little bit about Melissa's background?
Yeah, I met Melissa. I was looking to move my facility from one facility, obviously, to another, and I came across Melissa and her facility. And she was very kind, very nice. And this was probably a year and a half ago. And we started corresponding, and I was really ready to move, and we decided we were going to go. And when we finally got the horses all loaded up, circumstances changed. The people where I was at made me a different offer. And so Melissa knew, you know, when I was moving that I may only be there for 30 days, which is very inconvenient for anybody who's running a barn to have 20-some-odd horses move in for 30 days and then move out. And she said, you know what, you guys come, I welcome you, whatever you decide, I'm good with it. You know, at the time I just needed help, and she was very willing to help me. And it was just really important to me. It really showed me what kind of person she was, you know, because she really wasn't benefiting it from it in any way, except for it being a huge pain in her rear. And we didn't know each other very well, but she was very welcoming and very helpful, and it was really amazing.
That's brilliant. It does show what the kindness of a person, doesn't it? When times of need, equestrians come together.
Yeah, you know, and we've just been really good friends ever since. We've stuck together well. If I'm having a bad day, I call her. Same thing with her. And we've tried to make time for each other in our busy lives. And we've just developed a really good friendship.
That's excellent. So tell us a bit about Melissa's accident, whether she was just riding at home or competing, you know, what exactly happened? Was she wearing, like, safety gear, that kind of thing? So give us a little bit of details of actually what happened with regard to the accident.
Yeah, she rides Western, so it's totally different from what I do. So she was riding at her facility. She runs a boarding facility. So how it exactly happened was she was giving a friend of hers a lesson on a horse that I believe she sold to her. So they knew the horse really, really well. They've never had any problems with this horse. Giving her friend a lesson in a round pen, things went really well. They walked, trot, cantered. The lesson was over, and the owner's name is Andrea. Andrea was going to walk out of the gate. And which they do all the time, you know, they're not like us hunter jumper riders that get off and on outside the arena and all that. So they open the gate, and she opened the gate, and the gate accidentally hit the horse in the rear, and the horse went running forward and ran into a barn, and the owner fell off and injured her knee pretty substantially. So she couldn't get back on. She could barely get seated out of the way. Luckily, her husband was there, so the husband and the owner and Melissa were all down at the barn. So they got the owner situated. Melissa said, you know, I'm going to get on. I don't want her to be freaked out. So Melissa got on without a helmet. Neither one had helmets or any kind of safety gear. Melissa did have a helmet hanging up in the tack room that she really regrets not putting on. Got on, worked in the round pen. The horse was fine. The horse was perfect. Went to open the gate. She just wanted to show her, you know what, the gate's not going to bite you. We do this all the time. And again, the horse took off, ran up the hill. From what the owner says, she didn't seem to hit that hard, just hard enough to rattle her brain. So she fell off. And she immediately got up and dusted herself off and shaked her hair a little bit and kind of looked at her hand and said, oh, great, you know, I'm bleeding. Isn't that wonderful? And she made it a couple more steps, and then she laid down and was knocked unconscious. And that's kind of how the story happened, and they life-flighted her out.
Wow. So which hospital was she taken to?
I believe, you know what, I don't know which hospital she was. I can't remember if they, I think they did just take her to Morris. Now it's it's Kaiser. They took her to Kaiser Hospital.
Right. And when she arrived at the hospital, what did they obviously they ran tests and everything else, but what were her injuries determined as being?
You know, she had a little blood, but not bad. They kind of think that she just hit a little rock. A little blood out of one head, but otherwise she seemed normal. She did wake up. She had a neck brace on. And once she woke up was when they saw the real repercussions of what had happened, because she thought she was speaking and nothing was coming out. And so she's like, why aren't you listening? Why aren't you listening? And they're like, nothing's happening, you know?
Wow.
And it was just a really frustrating process. She thought she was moving her legs and her hands, and, you know, nothing was moving.
Wow, wow. And so how long is she, so she's obviously been in recovery. The accident was obviously in August. But where is she at in terms of her recovery now? Is she able, she's obviously able to communicate, obviously with some difficulty, but she's actually able to verbally speak now, I believe.
Yes. So, and actually she regained all of her verbal capability. It's been a little bit, it's been kind of a learning process for everyone, unfortunately most for Melissa. When the accident happened, the first day I went in to see her, she could barely get my name out, but she knew who I was, and she couldn't move. I mean, it was really hard not to burst into tears the moment I saw her, because you start thinking, oh my God, is this it, you know? And she slowly, every time I saw her, got better. Her speech, she just stuttered really, really bad, and it was in a weird tone, and it was slow. She had to really think about getting out each word, and her hands, in the beginning, she would drag them, so she could move an arm, but the fingers would be clamped together, and she would drag it. It took her a long time to be able to actually lift the wrist up instead of drag the wrist, and then the slowest thing to get moving was the legs. But she was actually recovering quite quickly. Like, everybody was just astounded on how quick she was moving along. So they actually did send her home a week ago. It's been 2 weeks. She was talking totally normal. She was moving, I would say, pretty, her arms maybe 80% normally, maybe a little glitch here and there, or 90%. And she was learning to walk on a walker, or with a walker and a wheelchair. So they said, you're ready, you can go home. She was really nervous about that process. And once she got home, she only made it a couple days because it's just very different from being in the hospital to being at home. Her bed at home didn't sit up, and she didn't have railings, and they have three kids, so the noise level is what actually got to her. She ended up having a seizure. She's had seizures kind of, in the very beginning, she had them quite close together, and then they went away. So she had a pretty substantial seizure while she was at home, and it's put her back in a rehab facility down in Vallejo. So it's 2 hours from our home. So that's wow. Where she is now. And she lost her speech. It's not as bad as it was in the beginning, but that's why she couldn't come on this morning, is because she's got the stutter back. And it's very exhausting for her to speak. It takes her time, and it's tiring. So she's lost a lot of the progress that she made.
Oh, that's such a shame. So talking about that, because obviously she was perhaps sent home due to, as we know, with these kind of situations, there's obviously very rapidly mounting medical bills, and insurance only goes so far. So is there any kind of fundraiser in place for her at the moment, and did she actually have any form of insurance, or what is kind of being done to raise some money for her medical bills right now?
Yeah, she has insurance. She has Kaiser. It was a little bit of unfortunate circumstances because their policy, I believe, ran out. I think, like, it runs out in October, but it doesn't start again until January 1st, or it runs out in November, it doesn't start again until January 1st. Is the new policy is that they're not starting them up until January. So whatever month you don't have coverage, you have to pay for that 1 month as if it's a year. So she's got a $5,000 deductible each time. So her bills will be up to $15,000 of January 1st. And, she has a fundraiser. It is www.gofundme.com/DS3DZC. And then, as you mentioned, she's got the Facebook page, which has all the information on it, and that's Melissa's Helmet Crusade.
Melissa's Helmet Crusade, I think we've seen that on the Facebook group.
Yeah.
So, well, that's good that we've got a GoFundMe going. So hopefully any of our listeners that are feeling very generous might go and help a fellow equestrian with that, and we will definitely share that GoFundMe in the show notes today. So obviously this has been a topic of debate, and I know you've followed the Riders for Helmets campaign for quite some time, Sammy. So clearly this was a story that does involve a rider that was riding Western, not English. And obviously we know we're all very familiar with Courtney King Dye's story, but obviously she was English riding, even though she was not wearing a helmet at the time. But I think this really just hits home, doesn't it, that it really does not matter what discipline in which you ride, compete, you know, participate in any way around horses, the safety gear is just so very important, isn't it? And I just wondered what your kind of take on that was.
Yeah, I mean, I of course 100% agree. I always haven't been as careful as I am now. When I was younger, I didn't wear a helmet. Well, I did when I was younger, but once I got out of a training program and I was kind of riding on my own, I was like, oh, I don't need that helmet. You know, I don't want my hair to look bad. And I went, you know, probably a couple years where I really didn't wear one, and I was jumping very big jumps, and, you know, it was not a good example. And I look back and go, gosh, that was not smart of me. But certainly it can happen whether you're jumping, you're walking. You know, a lot of us English riders, the horse trips and we fall off and we break ribs. And so, yes, it's so important. And it's definitely in my mind, you know, even at this last, I was at a show last week and my chin strap was a little tight and I was all done and I'm walking back to the barn and I just want to unclip it, you know, and I have that in my head, like, I just want to unclip it. I'm like, no, I'm not going to do that, you know. Anytime I'm up here, I'm keeping that on. And unfortunately, Melissa's helped teach me that lesson that, you know, no matter what you're doing, where you're going, you've got to have that helmet on.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it is so very important, isn't it? And we want to stress, because, you know, helmets and safety gear do not prevent accidents from happening. You know, horses are horses, 1,200-pound animals, you know, accidents are going to happen. But the thing about them is that they do help lessen that risk. And that's, you know, there are people that have worn helmets, such as the Silver Martin, the dressage rider, you know, and she was still injured despite wearing a helmet, but it reduced what the outcome would have been had she not. So I think that's really the take-home message is, you know, it doesn't matter the discipline. There's no shame in putting a helmet on your head, whether you ride Western or English. And, you know, let's try and reduce the risk here of some of these injuries. And hopefully we don't have, you know, stories like Melissa's that we're sharing. So, you know, we absolutely wish her the best. We're going to do what we can to help bring some money in for her medical funds. And we'll certainly be sharing that and around Facebook and on social media. And just, you know, we wish her the very best if you can pass that on to her in her recovery. And we'd love to have either you or her on the show in the future to give us a bit of an update. That would be great.
Oh, yeah, no problem. And I'll definitely let her know. And, yeah, you know, her story has gotten huge all over the world. So it's pretty amazing how many lives she's already changed with her story.
Absolutely, absolutely. So it's Melissa's Helmet Crusade on Facebook. We'll be sharing that on the Horses in the Morning Facebook page and also on the Riders for Helmets Facebook. We'll be posting more updates about Melissa's condition on the Riders for Helmets website as well. That's Riders, the number 4, and then helmets.com. So thank you so much, Sammy, again, for taking the time at this very early hour in California this morning to join us. So thank you, obviously, to Melissa for what she's inspired in the Western and other disciplines with this helmet crusade. And thank you to you for sharing her story and being her voice this morning as well.
Oh, thank you. Have a great day.
You too. Thank you.
I was just on her Facebook page here, Melissa's Helmet Crusade, and reading back to day one. I was just going through the whole timeline here. You know, it's a tragic story. Of course, you know, we all lived through it. All the listeners lived through it with Tammy, you know, and her head injury from a car accident, not from riding. But, boy, it's all the same. I mean, head injuries are just tough to overcome.
Yeah, really tough. I mean, I think that's the thing, isn't it? You know, I think it's a shame that it takes an injury like we saw with Courtney's accident 4 years ago now to kind of have that momentum and movement. And we're obviously seeing the same thing with Melissa's accident. And you heard how Sammy said that's really inspired people around the globe and people are following her campaign and that kind of thing. And it's such a shame that it does take that accident and sharing of the story to inspire other people to wear helmets, but it's so nice at the same time. I know I was messaging on Facebook with Melissa, and it's so nice that, you know, she sees this as something that can help other people. So she's got that same mentality about her accident as Courtney does. She's kind of not feeling sorry for herself. She has a very positive attitude. She still obviously has a lot of recovery and rehabilitation to come, but she wants to use her story to inspire other people to go and put a helmet on before they get on a horse. And I think that's so very powerful, such a powerful message, and great that she has that attitude that she wants to help others as a result of what's happened to her.
And, you know, I'm taking a look at some of the stories. She's right. She's gotten some stories on her Facebook page from all around the world for people that had accidents that were wearing helmets or weren't wearing helmets. Or it really has taken off here.
Yeah, it has. Yeah, it's that's how I was actually came across it, because somebody, you know, shared that page with me and said, you know, have you seen this? And, you know, this girl started this helmet crusade. She was a Western rider, blah, blah, blah. So it's just great, you know, the more of these things are out there, the more people share the stories, it just adds momentum to the campaign. And, you know, hopefully the more we get this out there, you know, the more people go and choose to buy a helmet.
Well, and I think that it has come a long way. Obviously, as there's still a long way to go. There's some disciplines that it's going to take a long time. And there's others that have been, you know, have embraced it very well. So, you know, and I think that, you know, our guest there was just a hunter jumper rider who's now wearing a helmet and showing her students that that's a good idea. Where in that world, 10 years ago, you wouldn't see anybody wearing a helmet. So,
yeah,
it was, you know, that's come a long way too. And of course, in the dressage world, especially.
Yeah.
We've seen a big changes in the dressage world. But yet, I don't know if you saw the story. A couple of weeks ago, there was one of the riders out of Germany saying that the helmets. Did you follow this story? Saying that the helmets do not match the traditional fashion and we shouldn't be wearing them.
No, that was actually a dressage judge.
Yes,
and we actually posted
right.
about that on the Riders for Helmets Facebook page. You can find the story on there. But I was absolutely appalled. I'm trying to find the article while we're talking.
So were the British riders she was directing it at.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, that, especially to come from a judge, somebody of that kind of authority, to putting that out there. Very, very poor choice of words. But the story, I'll find it here in 1 second, but the story...
Oh, by the way, she didn't like any of the modern coats or materials or fashion either. I mean, she was she was German to the T.
she was just not happy about that at all. And, you know, and power to the British dressage team, because all of them at WEG actually wore helmets, the entire team, not just Charlotte Desjardins, but actually all of them wore helmets.
And they still are. I mean, they were over there in Germany with the World Cup or something they were at, and that's what she was commenting on, and they were all still wearing their helmets.
Absolutely, and it's just such a shame that, you know, you get a high-profile person like a judge that's making these comments.
And then immediately you think, is she weighing her judging based on the fact that she doesn't like people, you know, looking like that, non-traditional, quote-unquote. Yeah.
Exactly. And I've actually found the comments here. It says, let me read this to you. On day two of the Global Dressage Forum, the Danish author, journalist, and judge, and I can't pronounce the name, I think it's Izhet Lemko, gave a self-confessed, unscientific presentation about harmony in the sport. Well, that was one thing aside. Aside from talking about the paces and how they adhere to or deviate from the FEI directives, she talked about headgear. She abhors, nonetheless, the modern fashion to wear crash hats, said they do not go with tailcoats and have no place in the sport, which should stick to its traditional roots. And the writer here from Horse and Hound says, I disagree with her in the strongest possible terms, and I expect that riders like Courtney King-Dye and Fiona Bigwood would too. She also lambasted the brightly coloured tailcoats using pictures of Hans-Peter Minderhoed's Dutch orange points on his tails and a Swiss rider with a flag logo on his saddle pad. Dear, dear.
He did not like the British riders having the flag on their helmets like they do down the middle, which I think are cool.
I think it was cool. She said it says she used a picture of Carl, meaning Carl Hester, and his shiny Jack flag, crash hat, among others, to illustrate how unharmonious the safety helmets are. But what sort of an example would we be setting if youngsters and novice riders started refusing to wear proper hats because the top riders shun them? What made it even more, what made the writer of Horse and Hound even more cross was a smattering of applause when she said crash hats had no place. Oh dear, oh dear.
Very good.
What she was thinking. Dear, dear, dear. Well, maybe she'll listen to the show and she can have our opinion on it, but we don't like her comments on crash hats. How about that?
But it does make you wonder. I mean, I'm sure all the British riders went back to their tests, pulled out their papers and went, was she my judge? If she was my judge, I want to see where her scores were. You know, everybody did that was wearing a helmet, I guarantee you. Ugh. It's sometimes traditions aren't good. You know, there are some traditions that just aren't good. What makes all traditions something that we should relish and cherish forever? You know? There's some traditions, you know, the French had a habit there for a lot of years of chopping people's heads off. It was not necessarily good in all cases. So, I mean, you know, just there's some things that we should just put aside. And by the way, I love the color, the brightly colored coats now that are coming in.
They're trendy.
It makes the sport that can be boring as hell more exciting. Let's just
Exactly. I mean, come on. We all think that watching dressage can be like watching paint dry. I mean, we know that. But,
by the way, two Grand Prix riders, Reese Kaufler-Stanfield and Philip Parks, hosts of the Dressage Radio Show, have said the same thing. They don't like watching dressage a lot of times. So, you know, so anything we can do to make it more fun, that's the key.
Yeah. Bring in the colors, bring in the crash hats, make it more modern, make it a lead by example sport that, you know, it moves minds and it puts safety before vanity. Oh dear, don't get me on my soapbox.
I think I just did.
I think you did. Yeah, I think she did with the silly comments.
That's Lindsay's second shame Winnie for the day.
It should have been my first, shouldn't it?
I have to come up with shameful music now. I have to come up for the bumper for that.
That's funny.
Well, thank you, Lindsay, for bringing that guest. We really appreciate it. And don't forget that later this week, there will be a promotion for highvisibilitysportswear.com. They will have up to 50% off their some of the items. I guess some of the items are all their items. Do we know?
I think some at the moment.
Some of the items in the range. And, of course, we highly recommend them. We wear them. You saw pictures on our Facebook page of Jennifer in them earlier in the week. So I have to get another one anyway, Lindsay. I have to order one, too. I have to wait till 50% off, and I need a vest, too. So I need to get one of those. So I need to wait for that. I will not be buying the winter coat, though. But there are a lot of people that should be buying the winter coat because it's going to be that way very shortly. And you have some of those left, right? There's some.
We do, yes.
Okay.
Indeed.
And are they really warm, the winter ones?
They're definitely for the people in the Northeast. Canada, the Northeast, Michigan, Wisconsin, you all need the winter jacket.
Good, cool. Well, that's
even here
good.
In Kentucky, when it's ice storm cold, we need them too.
Yeah, definitely. And that's it to highvisibilitysportswear.com. You know, we'll be back tomorrow morning. Jamie will be back, and we will have the Celebrity Trivia Challenge for you. I don't know who the celebrity is yet. I think, still working on that. We'll be here tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. Lindsay is here on the fourth Tuesday of every month. You can go back to our website at horsesinthemorning.com and just search for Riders for Helmets or Safety, and it'll bring up all the episodes that Lindsay has done, and you can take a listen to past episodes if you missed them as well. I would say, you know, there are always great stories on this episode, but they're actually tragic, sad stories a lot of times, but in many cases, good things have come out of them. So that's what we try to highlight. You know, what we don't talk about here on this episode or on Horses in the Morning in general, and we see it, you know, because we see all the news stories that are involve a horse, and you do too, is the number of riders that die every single month around the world because they aren't wearing helmets. We don't talk about those a lot because it would just depress all of us. But it was there are a lot of them that I see, and it's so sad. You see kids and, you know, they just fall off trail riding. In most cases, the stories I read, they're trail riding. You know, just simple out trail riding. Probably, you know, did never wear a helmet or would never think of wearing a helmet. So, something to consider. Where can people find you?
People can find us at riders4andhelmets.com. And if any listeners have a helmet story of their own, please do share it with us. You can send that to admin@riders4andhelmets.com. Share your stories with us. Share a pic of you riding or your broken helmet, or even if you weren't wearing a helmet and have a story to share about an accident, please do share it. We'll put it on our Facebook page that has about 21,000 followers, about 10,000 people follow us on Twitter, and about 65,000 visit the website a month. So we'll get your story out there. We'll make it seen. And, you know, your story might, like Melissa's, just inspire people to go and buy a helmet. Or you can post directly on our Facebook wall as well, and then we'll take that, take the image and take the information that you've shared, and we'll make a blog post out of it. So definitely, definitely share your stories with us.
And, of course, you can have all the Horse Radio Network shows with you wherever you go with our free app for iPhone or Android. Go to the App Store and search for Horse Radio Network. Well, thank you, Lindsay. We'll talk to you again next month. I think what we're going to do here is, starting today, every month, I think we're going to end the show with a friend of ours, Templeton Thompson's Guardian Angels, because it just seems appropriate to end the safety episode with every month. Talk to you soon, Lindsay.
Talk to you later, Glenn.
She could have passed for a cowboy the way she carried herself, and that 50 pounds of leather put it up on that pony, light as a feather, like she'd done it all her life. And she asked if I was ready, handing me the reins, and we started out walking. Up until that moment, she hadn't been much on talking. Guess it finally come the time, and she said, I've learned more from the back of a horse than most folks ever get to know. You never really know what you made of till you ride out on your own. Ooh, baby, don't worry, I know you're gonna be just fine. And ooh, now don't be in a hurry, you feel it when you hit your stride. So don't get mad, sit deep in the sand, remember to hold on tight. Get to know, you never really know what you made of till you ride out on your own. Ooh, baby, don't worry, I know you're gonna be just fine. And ooh, now don't be in a hurry, you feel it when you hit your stride. So don't get right, deep in